Good morning. So it's not, we're not quite there yet, but I wanted to talk about the solstice. I love the notion of the winter solstice, that we are celebrating the return of the light. And I don't, for some reason, I really feel it this year. Maybe because it's been a hard couple of years, actually. And because we allowed ourselves, for not bad reason, but we allowed ourselves to hope that things were really returning to normal, and then kablammo, Delta happened, and so on and so on and so on. And we don't have that big a winter. You know, you think about the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, say, or somewhere, those places where winter is really long. Or I can remember my 1 year in Alaska, where on May 31st, the snow was gone where we lived, because we lived in the banana belt, but the snow was gone. But in front of our house, there was still a big snow mound that our landlord had, he was plowing out a parking space for us. So every time the snow plow went through, it makes a little berm right in front of your driveway. So he would come rattling down with his huge earth mover bulldozer and plow a space. So that wound up being this huge mound. But you would think by the end of May that it would be gone. Well, it wasn't. Somewhere there's a picture of my husband, I think, standing on it and holding a sign that says May 31st, just to prove it. So then you really felt it. And of course the days were short come December. I don't know. Probably 9:30 to 3:30 or something, from when the sun rose to when it set, something like that. So it was, Anchorage was 10:30 to 2. But then somebody said the sun, way to think of it is that the sun's always in your eyes. Just like it is when it's setting, you know, you're driving and you always have the sun in your eyes. That was how it was. But even here, we feel it. We feel that the days are short. And right now it's cold and it's about to be rainy, which of course is thrilling. And I can't say I've gotten tired of it. I remember times of getting really sick of the rain and not being able to believe it was going to go on and on, and then there'd be a day like today when it's sunny and it'd be absolutely thrilling. To all societies, I think the solstice and the turning of the season, what feels like the turning of the sun, I think it's actually the turning of us, but the turning of the sun, is deeply important. And of course, agricultural societies are particularly aware of it, with urban types less so, I think. Those of us who walk dogs are very aware of it, because all of a sudden, it's, you know, if you don't get out now, it's going to be dark. There's a combination of a yearning for the light in all of us, I think. I can only speak for myself, but that seems to me that's reflected in some of the observations of it. And so many cultures and groups have some honoring of the solstice. I saw a video it was in Santa Fe. I forget what the name of it. It was like the Indian Museum, but there was a better name for it. And it showed I think it was at Chaco Canyon, probably was at Chaco Canyon. Anyway, that they had set up a particular altar so that on the solstice, the sun shone right on it. When they say that the Druids had that kind of thing, and maybe that's part of what Stonehenge is about. I don't know. But the Druids certainly had a time of recognizing the solstice. And there's, of course, there's Buddha's enlightenment, there's Christmas, there's Hanukkah. Kwanzaa was, the Kawenga decided the date, it's from the 26th of December until January 1st, I think. But he chose the date partly after having been in Southern Africa and seeing solstice ceremonies there. So I'll claim Kwanzaa also. As you probably know, Ramadan shifts a lot, so it doesn't seem to be, it's a lunar calendar that they're using, and it just doesn't have the same thing. But I'm sure that there are a lot of cultural things within the Muslim world, and the Arab and Persian world. And I was trying to, I was thinking about what reflects it for me in our culture. And I thought of the Beatles song, Here Comes the Sun. And all I could remember, here comes the sun, little darling, and I say, it's all right. Well, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. But I looked up the lyrics because I couldn't really remember. I've heard it played as a song during a wedding, for example. And so I was thinking, is it more of a love song than I really remember? Or is it referring to that person as the sun, which is what I thought it was? And it's not. It's not that. It really is about the return of the sun after a long, cold, lonely winter. So, would you please share the screen and play the song for us?
I will do my best.
Okay, well, I can play it on the iPhone, but it's not really as good.
It is playing. Looks promising.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. Thank you.
If we lose you, Dana, we'll come right back. Say end share somewhere up at the top.
Yeah.
Hey.
Not sure if she can hear.
Huh?
Can you hear Dana?
So, as I discovered last night, it's completely about the solstice. It's completely about the sun coming back. And you can imagine how it would be in Liverpool.
Mm.
No, they weren't living in Liverpool. This is an Abbey Road song. This is an end times song, but it's still, he grew up in Liverpool, and it probably feels pretty long in London, too. And this song captures, it seems to me, that both the yearning for this long, cold, lonely winter to be over, and the joy in seeing it starting to be over. And that's what this season is to me. And we celebrate Buddha's enlightenment now, enlightenment. You know, and there he was teaching life is suffering, not to put too fine a point on it, life is suffering, and yet there's a reason for it and there is a way out of it. And that's the Eightfold Path. And I just listed the Four Noble Truths. And our life right now is often suffering, you know, as, what's it, is it Omicron? Omicron?
Omicron.
Omicron, right. That's
a really transformative.
And all the litigation that's going on in Bali. So it feels hard. It's not clear to me that the metaphorical sun is coming, or that the ice is melting, or whether it's getting burned up instead, I don't know. And I yearn for it, and I need it, and I will allow the joy of it, that we need to allow ourselves to be regenerated, say, recreated. We need to allow ourselves to enjoy the sun coming back. And I don't know if you've had a chance, but just look at the marigold bushes out in the yard. They're just exploded with yellow. And I mailed the year-end letters, but you probably wouldn't get them until Monday or Tuesday. At any rate, they feature a nasturtium, which I guess you know because you folded a million of them. They feature a nasturtium. And it's deeply important to allow yourself to celebrate this beauty, to celebrate the return of the light. And not only because it makes walking dogs easier. So that's no small thing. I think it's really useful right now. You know, solstice means like a stop, a standing still. The sun stands still, which isn't literally true, but that's good enough. From our experience, it's like, oh, this is the end, and now there's a new beginning. And then in June goes the other way. So in order to practice, in order to live in this, we call it the Saha world, this world of suffering and confusion and life and death and me and mine and me and other and you and me, we need to stop and turn towards that light and open our hearts to it, or allow it to open our hearts, maybe even better, and notice it. Notice it. It's like, don't forget, because it's easy to allow yourself to be overwhelmed and or to just turn away from everything, which is a way of shutting down. Don't shut down. Open. But don't forget, it's not just whatever's going on with Donald Trump or COVID or whatever. It's not just that. There's nasturtiums. They're not exploding yet. They will pretty soon. But they're here. So I wanted to read you a Druid hymn. If I can find it easily, if I didn't. Now, I used to, in theosophy school, I sang this, and I don't remember the tune. It's called, here, this website is jewelinthelotustheosophytrust.org. I went to theosophy school, but I don't know. At any rate, it's called, the title of it apparently is Great Magnet, and the Great Magnet is the sun. This is a Druid hymn to the sun. Okay, so just in case you wondered. Great Magnet, thy hidden power draws us ever onward to spaces anew. Secret in the earth, thy life forces waken, stirrings and whisperings that the ear cannot hear. Later will come birth in the fullness of thy splendor. Now is the time of thy mystery of nature. Now does the cycle in thy great turning blend. All that has been shall tend. All that has been shall lend to what comes after. All that will come lies hidden in thy promise. Foster all the good that was gleaned in the harvest in the days that are past when the growing time was o'er. Higher resolve let us make in the new awakened glory. Radiant one, ignite us with thy fire. Carry we our vows of the symbol eternal, constant and verdant throughout the season's change. Strew we our violets on all the stony places, symbol of the blessed ones who trod this way before. Onward we move in the cycle's nascent stirring. Onward we tread, following thy course. You know, it just says hymn to the sun, but it's obviously a hymn to the solstice. Anyway, they were no slouches in honoring this time. I like the notion of honoring the stirrings, the fact that there's a lot going on, but it's not, you can't see it yet. You have to wait for the springtime before it comes, but we're going to honor what we know is going on now. So honor it in yourself and in the world. And in other people, that light is there. Don't forget. Okay, I'm done preaching for now. Does anybody have anything you want to say or share, or what your experience of this solstice is? Yes, Steve.
Yeah. that song is means a lot to me in that I've always been a big fan of the Beatles since I became aware of them, even though they're, you know, I wasn't in their time really. But you know, I mean, they really kind of spent their time. Anyway, that's my opinion. But a friend of mine who's also a big Beatles fan asked me what my favorite Beatles song was, and I'd never thought of that, and I said, Here Comes the Sun. And it turned out it was his favorite song too. And I tend to be a really lyric-oriented person, but for me, this song is more feeling than lyrics, and because it doesn't really have a hidden meaning. It's just all there, and it's so simple, and it's almost like that's a side of me that is sort of a shadow side that, no pun intended, that, you know, this is really my favorite Beatles song. Of all the songs they have with hidden meanings, I like this one. It reminds me, and this talk reminds me of just letting in the light, letting in hope. And it also reminds me, it also, I think it might help me with a friend who we occasionally have these discussions where she gets really down on, boy, it's, when I try to point out, you know, there's some good things happening in the world, there's some progress, she'll often use this metaphor of, well, we're really just like Wile E. Coyote running out in the cornfield, running out over the cliff, and then not knowing he's in the air and then looking down and then falling. She thinks that's where our society is with all the environmental degradation and everything, and that our progress really doesn't mean that much. And so I couldn't let that kind of get to me because that's one way of looking at things for sure. And I don't want to tell her, well, just smell the flowers. I don't want to tell her about the impossible vows to save all beings, because although she's sympathetic to Buddhism, it wouldn't resonate with her on the heart level like it does with me. But I feel like being reminded of the sun is something that, I don't know, I'll see if that helps her when she's feeling depressed about it. Certainly, I'll try to share that, and it certainly helps me, though, and I hope it can.
Yeah,
Bring that up, bring that light to my friend.
Dana?
Oh, can you guys hear me okay? Oh, okay. It's amazing that you spoke about the song, because I think we were talking about it last week when I was there outside working during the work period, even though we were not supposed to talk. I think the most brilliant part of that song is do-do-do-do. And because it expresses the joy of the sun without so much the words. And it reminds me, I was talking to Kelly about this, and also Steve, about how annoying I thought the Beatles were for so very long, because they inserted into my mind the worm of the song. And I really got angry about that. And it reminded me of something Steve said once about, don't think about this, don't think about blank, don't think about blank. And he was doing it on purpose. And I said, F you, Steve, like out of somewhere. And I felt really bad about it. And he said, it was so honest. And I said, yeah, it was nice to just be myself. And so it was the do-do-do-do of Dana. And then later with Kelly to talk about how brilliant they were and that they forgot themselves a little bit when they wrote the songs. They forgot themselves enough to give that kind of beauty to it, in the way we can forget ourselves with, you know, by fully immersing into a moment. I play this song when I'm down. I play this song sometimes just to get in the shower to start my day, when I'm not listening to Rachel Maddow, to just experience pure joy and to reset my mind. It's the do-do-do-do that resets my mind. And so I just want to say thank you, Mary. And again, I love my Sangha and I love all of you. Thank you so much.
I don't know, you know, the story of this song is that that this, you know, this was this album Abbey Road was kind of towards the end of the time they broke up after this album. And apparently they were spending a lot of time on business stuff. And they'd go into the office at Apple Records and they'd be, you know, signing things and so on. And I'm sure they also had some inkling that things weren't working very well. At any rate, apparently George decided to play hooky one day, and he did not go into the office, and he went over to his friend Eric Clapton's house. This is a long time ago. Anyway, he went over to there, and he was just kind of wandering around the garden and feeling the joy of playing hooky. And I'm reminded of the scene in A Hard Day's Night when Ringo takes the day off and goes photographing everywhere. But at any rate, so George took a day off, and he was just out in the garden, and he had one of Clapton's guitars, and he was just sort of noodling around, and this song came. So it also grew out of that sense of joyous freedom that can, I don't know if you've ever played hooky. I hope that you have at some point in your life. There is a wonderful sense of freedom. It's like,
I want to do it next Saturday.
Oh. Yeah, you can't, I'm sorry. It doesn't count. Anyway, thank you, Dana. Zach?
In a way, this conversation doesn't seem very zen, in the sense that it's winter, it's dark, I accept that. It's the middle of the NBA season, yay. Maybe you get to sleep a little better because it's dark longer and earlier. But so it's dark, get over it. That doesn't mean you can't love that it's getting light out in the spring, but it's not like the dark is evil or something we can't just accept and enjoy the rain and some things that happen during the winter. Mm-hmm. Is that wrong?
Of course it's not wrong. We, you know, when we do the Bodhisattva ceremony, one of the commentaries on one of the precepts, and I can't remember which one it is, but I mean, we just accept it with respect and gratitude. And I think we yearn for the light. I mean, I like the fall. The fall is probably my favorite season, and I like the winter. I'm less of a fan of the summer, actually. But, oh well.
Mm-hmm. Get over it.
Well, that's not Zen. I don't think get over it is Zen myself. Just do it.
Yeah.
But that includes taking delight. And it really, I mean, one of my themes, I think, is, you know, just stop and look and really see everything. You know, don't forget to include the joy, include yourself, include recreation, recreation, as Thich Nhat Hanh and Aiken Roshi have said. Don't forget. Anyway, who knows what Zen is? Just don't say something's not Zen, because everything is.
I know. That was the only way I could think to say it.
Well, it's fine. I know you know. Yes, Kelly?
There you are, might as well.
Yeah.
By the way, you're welcome for me not going on about the 8 hours of the Beatles documentary I just finished.
Oh.
That's great. Heather has a very, if you won't mind me talking about this, she has very serious seasonal affective disorder. The long winters are very difficult for her. And long periods of rain really get her down. I think I'm more like you. I like it. I like the winter, I like the fall, I like long periods of rain. When I lived in Western Massachusetts, that was the weather for me. But it's very difficult for Heather, except for the last year and a half, because Heather's been teaching at an outdoor school. She has to be outdoor 4 days out of the week. And so it speaks to, I think, what you were talking about, where it wasn't shying away and running from it. She had to be out and embrace whatever the weather was. And it's caused a learning to love the rain. And she started teaching kids how to learn to love the rain. I mean, they've got to be outside too. And there's not really any place to hide. You're bundled up and you've got raincoats. But you have to get through a couple of days of it, and then you start to love being in the rain. And that is a lesson that I have learned from her, that I try to enact that lesson, which is to, you know, if it's something that's going to make you uncomfortable, maybe embracing it would be helpful. It's work for her. She's far smarter than me, so that's a good path to follow. Anyway, that's what I thought about.
Yes, and you remind me, I know I've told you this before, but I'm going to try to stop saying that, because since I'm going to say it anyway, and you may or may not remember, why bother saying it? But years ago, there was a small bell at Berkeley Zen Center, which was probably the size of our big bell. And it was what we call a very unforgiving bell. If you didn't sound it just right, it sounded bad. If you sounded it just right, it was great. And I was one of the dull ones. And so I would come earlier, I would whatever, and I would work with that bell. And sometimes I sounded it well, and sometimes I didn't. And finally, I went to Mel and I said, I just don't love that bell. And I don't feel like I have a relationship with that bell. And he said, you don't have to love it, just get to know it. That's very Zen.
I'm so sorry.
That was a mic dropper.
Well, you just, I'm so sorry. You gave me a... at any rate, I think that's really useful, and I try to remember that, to remind myself, because I can get too bound up or trying to feel what I don't feel. And so my relationship with the bell did change, because I stopped trying so hard, and it was never going to love me back. I know it's never going to love it. I don't remember really. I just remember that exchange and how useful it's been for the last, I don't know how many years, 30 years or something.
Maybe that's why it was there.
I don't believe in that. Exactly. Except for Suzuki Roshi getting crooked. I straightened it to see what's going to do, because I didn't know if I maybe hung it not quite right, because this building kind of tilts, you know. Just put a ping pong ball down, it'll roll that way. You don't have to start it, it'll just do it. Okay.
Beings are numberless,
I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible.